The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
It does.
Amen.
Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler
and
Wynn Carpenter.
We are here broadcasting live from downtown Reading as I fix my headphones that are slipping down my head.
Dude, all that fuzz.
It's the long
top.
Hair.
It's that long hair.
Hey, you're just jealous.
Yes, I am.
We are broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. 1460 AM, we are your talk radio, and you can hear us streaming live worldwide at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment during our show, you can call into 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and you can go to our archive if you are in church right now. Then you will hear us on the archive because you will never hear this announcement. But we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
So we are here this morning. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, last week, Supervisor Chris Kellstrom was on Kevin Cry's program.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what he gave I thought was pretty good because he actually talked about the county. He actually talked about some things they were doing.
That's refreshing.
It was refreshing to hear that going, rather than, we didn't hear about, IMEI, for one thing. And the other thing that we didn't hear about is, anything that was either being looked at or being thought about or an issue, but he was talking about solutions to issues.
He's thinking outside the box, which needs to happen.
Yeah. And I like the way that they're fighting for our water and that stuff. But anyway, it was a good job that they did. So I would suggest you listen to it. There's nothing about it other than just informational, which I think it's refreshing if you're going to be someone who is in government serving the people. It's nice to have a program and let them know exactly what you're doing, but not that, but what things you're solving.
Right, right.
That's the main thing. Yep. Anyway, we are here this morning. We're excited about this. We're here with Laura Hobbs. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning.
And Rich Gallardo. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How's my volume?
Good.
Actually, you're a little loud.
You're always better in studio than you are
on
your
phone.
Yeah,
on the telephone.
Always.
We are doing a GoFundMe to get Rich Gallardo a new phone.
Okay, I'll whisper.
So we are here this morning. We're going to be talking about the initiative that you guys got going here and a lawsuit. And so, Laura, I'll let you kick it off, whichever one you want to start with. And then as we go on, if you have a question or a comment, again, 530-605-4567. Take it away, Laura.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you an update on the lawsuit to begin with. We did file an appeal. What happened was on May 27th, the judge granted the county a demurrer, which means they dismissed it based on a technicality. So it wasn't heard and it wasn't judged based upon its merits. So we're taking it to the third appellate court, and we'd like to actually get it remanded back to Judge Hanna so he can hear it based on the merits of the case.
What does the lawsuit actually say? What is the lawsuit about, just for the folks who don't know?
Yes, it's all in regards to the November 2024 election. Your listeners may recall it was a bit of a chaotic time. There was the ink over spray issue. We had a 46% rejection rate. The ballots were duplicated in private. We had a use of voting systems which were not logic and accuracy tested, the Novus duplication system by Runbeck. Joanna Francesca misled the Secretary of State and the public about the results of the 1% tally. The 1% tally is supposed to compare the hand count to the machine count. It turns out she said there were 10 errors, but in fact there were 51 times that amount. There were 511 errors. and she hid that from the public. She wouldn't release the data to the people who needed it to be able to contest their elections. There were 18 contests on that ballot in November where the margins of victory were under 5%, and her hand tally resulted that there was a 4.71% error rate in the tabulation. So there were, I think on the show I've also spoken about the undeliverable ballots. They were undeliverable in March. They were sent ballots in November, and then 600 of those people voted. And the duplication, or the 46% rejection rate, far exceeds the HAVA standards, far exceeds the California voting system standards, which, by the way, you're only supposed to have a rejection of 1 out of 500 ballots. So we had a basically rejection rate of 1 out of every 2 ballots.
So what could go wrong there?
Yeah.
I mean, with that whole list of stuff you've listed so far, what could possibly go wrong?
Right. And then we had 2,783 more ballots counted than voters that were recorded as having voted after the official certification of the election, which Joanna has gone on air trying to say, well, that's because the provisional ballots. Well, that's not true. After the election has been certified, a provisional ballot is no different than an ordinarily cast ballot.
What technicality did the judge grant the demurrer for? What was the technicality? What was that?
Well, it was brought forth the cause of action that stated all of these things, which we as election observers documented and found. Mm-hmm. It was all under the first cause of action, which basically stated all of these problems and said that these were ministerial errors. These were errors that resulted from the ROV not doing his job as according to law, as according to statute. And what the county's lawyers did, they hired BB&K, an outside law firm, to basically argue that, you know, these are not really ministerial duties. These are just duties that, you know, are optional whether or not the ROV will perform them. Oh, we believe that's false.
They're making light of it, then, is what
yes,
they're doing.
Yes, they're making light of it.
Just so I have this straight, you're saying that it's all these things that you just read, which all seem like egregious, things, that this is all at the county registrar of office's pleasure. In other words, they can either do it or not.
And this isn't a direct quote, but he basically said, I can't tell another branch of government how to do their job. So they were making light of the fact that these are part of California election law. These are laws which need to be followed in order to ensure fair and accurate elections. When these laws are not followed, real people are harmed. Citizens are harmed. They can't trust their election results. Candidates can't trust that they actually truly lost.
Absolutely. I'm just surprised.
So the law was broken.
Yeah, yes. That's what we're trying to.
Isn't he supposed to adjudicate the law?
The law being broken?
Absolutely.
Okay, well
that's all we were asking for. That was all we were asking for.
The word judge is in there somewhere and adjudicate judge.
Well, it's pretty basic. Wow. I mean,
yeah, it is basic.
Let's figure it out. Let's do it right. Why is he messing it up and making it so convoluted by
This is a pattern. What's happening all across the United States is the judges, instead of hearing these election cases based on their merits, they try to get them dismissed
on a technicality.
Yep. Or standing.
What was the technicality? What did they say? What was it? What was the it of being
the
a technicality?
In the technicality in this case was they said none of these were ministerial duties. None of these things I just listed out. All the election laws that are part of this list are not required for them to do that by law. Which is not true.
Then why is there a law?
Yeah, is there? Yeah. They're just suggestions.
Suggestions?
Gee, you might want to do this if you're the ROV. Take it or leave it. I don't know.
Wow.
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's a lot like our government now. I mean, look at Comey's walking around free as a bird. Yep. So is Fauci. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fauci's walking around free as a bird.
I don't know. Maybe Brennan and Clapper are on the list, though.
Maybe. But, you know, you also look at what
Obama's
the president
on the list.
Yeah, he is. And look at the president not releasing the list of all the perversions that were going on, not releasing that list. I mean, what's going on? And we seem to be ruled by executive order in this country rather than the Constitution.
Right.
So the way that I'm hearing this, and if somebody has at least a way that they can explain the other side of what was just explained by Laura, I'd like to hear it. Because, you know, what we're hearing here is that laws were broken. The judge is saying, hey, it's not my job to say whether a law's been broken or not, or to even try to remedy this. I mean, this is bizarro land. So if there is another take on this, we want to know.
Because yeah. This Joanna, are you listening? Call in, Joanna.
Isn't that his job, the judge's job?
It's a law. If there are laws that are being broken. Okay, if laws are broken,
then you address it.
Each one. You don't just say, well, it's really not their job, and it's not my job to say what they're doing in their job, even though they broke the law. Oh, so, I don't care if they shot the guy or not. It doesn't really matter.
So counter to Judge Hanna saying he can't tell another department or another branch check and balance, right? No, he did that exact thing when the county sued the Shasta Five, and it went to court, and that very same judge actually told the other branch, which would be the executive county council, yes, you will do your job. So, so Mr. Hanna, it depends on what day of the week it is, as how he's going to roll.
Wow.
Okay. Hmm. And what side of the fence you're on?
That too.
So now, how is the initiative coming? What's going on with that? What's new on the initiative?
Well, this brings us to the initiative process because, the citizens have no other means of recourse, right? We go to the Board of Supervisors, they ignore us. We take it to the ROV office. At that time, they ignored us. We take it to the courts. They ignored us, right? So what are we to do? And the fact of the matter is that we, as law-abiding citizens, do have recourse, and it's granted to us in the California Constitution to alter and reform our government as is necessary, and that's where we came up with this charter amendment measure, which will be on the next ballot, probably June 2026, if not before. And this is something that was composed by the citizens who had observed many election cycles and seen things that needed improvement. So we brought this forth as a citizen-led proposal. Rich Gallardo is our chairperson, and he will tell you more about where we're at on that and hand it over to him.
Okay, and before we go there, the initiative itself, again, is citizen-led. The county has nothing to do with this.
Correct.
Okay, then, and one question I want to ask you, Rich, ahead of time, is that, what's the fellow's name that has the...
Carl DeMaio?
Yeah, DeMaio. DeMaio has got this initiative going out in the state of California, and I believe it's for two things, Rich, or what does he want on his?
Yeah, and if I could, I have two quick announcements that are election-related.
Go ahead.
Okay, so first of all, we citizens are collecting names of people that were denied as poll workers. Okay, this has happened in the last several cycles, including myself, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody that knows of others, and I have a short list already just by memory, but I need to go back. We are collecting a list of people that have been denied poll worker applications, and I know some that were poll workers that were then rejected subsequent. They're like, hey, we don't need you anymore.
I was told by Kathy Darling, she'd never pick me.
So, anyways, that's my first announcement. That's my first announcement. So, either email me or Patty. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say her last name with Eric because I wasn't given permission to put her name out. So, email myself or Patty. People know who she is. Well, I'm just telling you, those are the two folks. We are collecting the names so that they are going to go to an additional person for possible referral to the federal DOJ. Okay? That's my first announcement. The second announcement is I wanted to talk briefly about the GOP gala that was held at the Wind River two nights ago on Friday night. Very extravagant, very well put together. I thought it was very well put together. Laura and I were both there. A lot of rhinos there. I won't give out names. They know who they are. But also a lot of patriots there, a lot of good conservative patriots. Very few constitutionalists there, but there was a couple of those.
That was me.
Janet was there. So we had some constitutionalists there, although. But, yes, Mr. DeMaio and Laura and I attended his 4 p.m. meeting that day prior to. And yeah, he wants to do voter ID. He wants to do
okay. Those are the two things.
He has several things actually.
The two main
are voter ID and citizenship verification.
You don't know the other ones.
Prior to being put on the voter rolls.
Do you know the other ones or off the top?
Well, he wants to clean the voter rolls, right? I mean, there's a lot of little things. They're all related to a valid voter registration. They're basically all related to being a valid voter before you're sent a ballot.
Okay.
In fact, you're not to be on the rolls if you're not supposed to by state or federal laws and regulations.
So what's his practice for wanting to verify your citizenship? Like, what does he want to use?
How's that going to play out? We don't know yet. These are, you know, the petition will be out in the beginning of October. And in the meantime, people can sign online that they want to be volunteers, that they want to get involved. But between now and then, we have our local Shasta County measure that would only affect this county because we're a charter county. We already have the authority to do things differently than the state.
Right.
DeMaio wants to make it an amendment to the California Constitution.
Right.
Which then mandates, also in that amendment, also mandates that the legislature must follow.
Yeah,
right.
That's probably a pretty good move.
You would think, right?
You would think.
If it's in the state constitution, you're supposed to do it.
Unless you get the judge you guys got.
So lastly, on the Friday night event, our local measure, I believe, even though Friday night was not about our local measure, but obviously it's related. I think we got a pretty good political shot in the arm on Friday evening because a lot of powerful folks from Shasta County were there, and Mr. DeMeyer was, you know, he was singing our song basically, right?
Yeah.
Because we've been doing this for 3 months, you know, so it was a good event, I think, in general. And, so as far as our petition goes, we have about 58 days remaining. We're 2/3 of the way into the cycle. We're doing well. We're over halfway on the time. We're also well over halfway on the signatures. However, there's a core group of us that have been working tirelessly for about 3 months now. And we would still like a couple volunteers to give us a break, you know, here and there. We are tabling in the mall now, and we're going to expand our hours in the mall Friday evening, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. So, you know, out of the smoke and the heat, and so that's a good thing. But the support is still, it hasn't wavered at all. In fact, I think after Friday night, I think our support's going to increase. We will get the legal minimum. I can guarantee you that. Now at this point, we're working on that 20% buffer. Okay. So we will be submitting signatures. We just want to make sure to submit as many as possible.
Right.
You know, what we want to submit is 8,600, but what I'd like to submit is 9,500. The more we'll collect up until the day before we turn them in, because the more we file, right, it's a political statement by the voters. So we want to do that, and we'll be running some additional radio ads. Laura has one that should start shortly. We're going to cut an additional radio ad looking for more support, and also a lot of the people that we have that signed for us, we're tracking. We have the voter rolls, of course. And we have quite the list of people that have signed, and then how many additional voters are in that same household. We have a considerable list. I mean, we're talking hundreds of additional signatures.
There you go.
So we're going to be cutting another radio ad soon, trying to grab some of those folks to come and sign for us, you know, as the end of the tunnel nears.
Rich, when you submit the signatures, who verifies them?
County Registrar of Voters.
Okay. Well, there's hope there then. In the past, that was a real obstacle.
Yes.
We believe he's – now, here's something interesting. So I've already asked him, and I'm going to do so now publicly on the radio. So the proponents have access to these petitions, okay, legal access to look at every petition, right? So for the listeners, you know, your information when you sign, it is not a public document. And that information on that petition is very legally restricted. The only people that are allowed to see that are the people involved, the proponents, and then the elections office are the only ones allowed to see your information that you signed or didn't sign. And so we're keeping that close to the vest. It will not go to any databases, mass marketing, nothing. Okay? And we're not going to do it because it's illegal and it's not the right thing to do. But so, we're going to try to capture, you know, maybe another 500 or 600 or 800 in the last month just from the additional voters of somebody who's already signed.
Now, you did say you need some help, and I know we're going to do this a couple of times for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us where people can go to help you. We're going to do that a couple of times in the program, not sure. just at the end, because people may not listen to the whole thing all at once.
Now, anyway. do you guys have a website that lists all that?
Yeah, she's going to
get it. It's SaveShastaElections.org, and you can email SaveShastaElections@pm.me. You can also call area code 530-962-5168.
Okay.
You want to repeat it? Go ahead.
Okay. SaveShastaElections.org. Email at SaveShastaElections@pm.me. And the phone number is 530-962-5168.
We prefer on this program to always have our guests in for the full hour. And the reason is, it's just like this. We want to make sure that when we have our guests in, they're able to get their information out.
Right.
And they have plenty of time to do it and don't feel rushed. So
Thank you.
We don't do the half hour or the 15-minute thing here. We do, you're on for the whole time. Now, you had mentioned that you're going to be sending something off, complaints, to the DOJ. You're going to be sending that off. And what law are you using? Because it would have to be a federal offense for them to have jurisdiction. What law are you using for that?
So I'm only collecting the information.
Okay.
At the moment, I'm not at liberty to release the person that is
I don't care about the person, just what law that you're using.
Well, that discussion has yet to be had, but
it
is likely the civil rights violation, 42 or 18 U.S. Code 241, 242. That is likely the violation. Or even 18 U.S. Code, the civil side of it, 42 U.S.
That's
Code
1983. That's 42, 1983, but that's the suing part.
So either one of those are applicable for civil rights violations. Those are likely the ones that that are going to be referred. Yeah.
At 242, probably, because that's another color of law. If you're going after officials, but if you're going after just individuals, then it's 241.
So 18 U.S. Code is actually the federal penal code. That is the criminal side.
Right. That's where we get the consequences. U.S.
Code, the 42 U.S. Code is the civil
side. Right.
It's the same violation can be both criminal or civil. Remember the Rodney King police officers, right? They were acquitted of all state charges, but then they were charged under the civil 42 U.S. Code, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember all of it.
Five years ago.
Again, my only question was, is that, you know, and I know it can't be a secret, okay, that you have, you know, what law are you using? Well, it's 18242, I would think. But, you know, then you've got to get, because it has to have federal jurisdiction.
Correct.
So what we're going to do right now, because we want to come back and talk a little more about the initiative, and what we're going to do right now, we'll take the break early.
Well, before we go, though, I have a question, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Are there multiple violations on that you're going to be filing, or is it just like a single thing?
I know of about 8 people, including myself, that were denied poll worker status.
Okay,
violation is what he's asking. Is it just for the poll workers or other violations?
This is an ongoing conversation, but I'm just doing the preliminary announcement.
Is that we had a whole list of people, because under California election law, the Republican Central Committee is allowed to appoint poll workers, and there's no application process. They just say, hey, I want that guy in this place. We came up with a list, shared it with the Republican Central Committee. They elevated it to the elections office. At the time, it was Thomas Toller. It was a list of people who wanted to be involved in the polling situation. And there were a number of people, I'm going to say over 40 people on that list. Mm-hmm. And they turned that list into a blacklist. So anyone who was on that list...
Yeah, proof of that.
Well, that's what this is about. So we've got
to
collect the evidence.
Proof of that.
Yep.
Okay, so the assumption is there.
So nobody who was on that list was given an appointment, or very few people.
Got it.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, that clears it up, I think.
There we go.
Okay, so I think. Anyway, so again, 530-605-4567. If you have a question or a comment, we're going to go off to our first and only break. We'll be back with Laura Hobbs and Rich Gallardo. Time has come
for 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
When it comes to quality lighting and electrical work, experience matters. Ed and Sons Electric has been in business for over 20 years, helping homeowners and businesses stay safe. From installing modern light fixtures to replacing outdated outlets, we ensure your home or office is functional, efficient, and up to code. Planning a new build? Don't leave your electrical work to chance. We'll help you design a layout and put outlets where you actually need them, and lighting that enhances every space. Ed and Sons Electric specializes in all aspects of commercial electrical work, including emergency power systems, large equipment installations, and overhead lighting solutions that meet today's standards for energy efficiency and safety. We take pride in our workmanship, our reliability, and our reputation. Call Ed, Nathan, and Justin at Ed and Sons Electric today for a free local estimate. 530-227-1553. That's 530-227-1553.
Experience the thrill of our $100,000 summer adventure. Swipe to win draw. Weekly drawings are from June through August, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., where you have a chance to win exciting prizes, including free slot play and cash rewards. Have a chance to win a brand new 2025 Ford Ranger in the final drawing. By participating, you could drive away in style. For complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Sally Lou. Thank you, Sally Lou, as usual. Ah,
good stuff.
Okay, now you can go outside and play with your plants.
There you go.
In the smoke.
In yeah. the smoke. So we are back here at Jefferson State of Mind.
Mind.
Laura Hobbs and with Rich Gallardo. And we are talking about the initiative for the charter of Shasta County. Mm-hmm. And just in a nutshell, kind of just a couple of minutes, what exactly do we want in the initiative to all the folks?
All right. We want to have voter ID. We want to have same-day election results. So right now you have to wait 30 days to find out the results. We want to know on the same night or shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. We want to have paper poll books, which I've heard the ROV has already put in place. Mm-hmm. We want to have hand-counted at the precinct. So we figure, you know, you can count about 50 ballots in an hour. You start at 7 a.m., and you count until 8 p.m., and that way you're practically done. You might have a couple more hours. most precincts are under 1,000. Actually, they are all under 1,000, and most of the time you don't have 100% turnout during the election. So and we also want to have clean voter rolls, locally maintained, not connected to VoteCal, which is the statewide system. and we want to keep that, you know, maintained, not on the internet, so it's in a secure location. We want to have local control, which is actually already legal at this point. So,
you mentioned you want to start counting at 7 a.m.?
Yes, right when the polls open. We won't publish any results until the polls close at 8 p.m.
So as they're coming in, you're counting them?
Yes.
Okay, I just make sure I understood. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So now, what if they... Now, I've heard, Rich, you've talked about... what they have, if you have all these things, you could, there's a thing called severability. Now, severability happens if you go to court.
Correct.
So if you go to court, since the county is off the hook on this, and this is all citizen-led, who pays for it? Do the people of Shasta County pay for you going to court, or do the people who are citizen-led do that? And does the Board of Supervisors have a way to say, well, we're not paying for this, it's citizens-led, the citizens have to pay for it? That's I want a little bit of explanation and on those things. Go ahead.
So there's a number of different questions there, but to start off with, at this point, the supervisors will have to gauge, you know, read the room. Okay, most of my citizens want this. Am I going to get behind it, or am I going to go the other direction?
That's not my question, though. With all due respect, my question is, you have to go to court for severability.
No, I'm getting there. Just let me finish.
Well,
so
that's public opinion.
If it does get taken to court, it will be the state of California suing the county of Shasta.
Okay, that's the people of Shasta would have to foot the bill.
No, they would be suing the county of Shasta, I believe.
What taxpayer? Yes,
the
county would be the defendants, and the taxpayers would pay for that defense. Yes,
that's true. The taxpayers would pay for the defense. They would also pay for the offense. You know, we're paying the state's bills as well.
Okay,
right?
can the Board of Supervisors opt out of this and say, hey, we have nothing to do with this. We're not giving you any county money. Is there anything legally they can do at that point? Go ahead, Rich. You're shaking your head no, so give us the legalese.
Well, go ahead, buddy. I have 2 points really quickly before I forget them, and then we'll go there. So Laura's talking about hand counting at the precincts, okay, during Election Day. Remember, the mail-in ballots are truly about 60% of the voters. The establishment will tell you it's 80%. No, it's actually not. It's actually 60%. So understanding that, only 40% of a precinct, and remember, not everybody votes on Election Day. So only 40% of the people that vote would actually turn in a physical ballot. So the numbers of hand-counted ballots at the precinct on Election Day is going to be extremely minimal. Second point is I need to finish something I started earlier before the break regarding the petition validation process. I've already asked Clint Curtis to allow a proponent or all five of us proponents to be in the building, in the room, during the initial live validation process. Because number one, the law doesn't prohibit it. Number two, the proponents already have access to the petitions to see who has signed. And number three, if for some reason we do not certify due to lack of enough validation signatures, the law then actually allows proponents to go in and see every individual invalidated signature and why. So at this point, there is no reason that Clint Curtis cannot allow the proponents, one or more, to be in there sitting at the back of the room, observing quietly and taking copious notes during the actual initial validation.
We do have a caller on the line. Rich, what say you?
Yeah, I didn't know if you guys were aware you were talking about the election. There's an Arizona congressman that successfully was able to get DOJ down to look at Maricopa County and specifically run back. And I think we should get a coalition or maybe the Board of Supervisors to reach out either to the congressman from Arizona or to our congressman, which is a waste of time to get DOJ to come to Shasta County.
Hey, Rich. I'm going to let you talk. I just want to know who your Board of Supervisor is. I'll let you talk. Go ahead. Who's your Board of Supervisor?
Well, I live in District 3, and I own property in District 5.
You live and vote in District 3, so then Corky Harmon.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Rich.
Right, and then because I've already reached out to our congressman, and I basically got a form letter that said thanks, but no thanks. But I have a question on a different subject, and I'll take my answer off the air. There was a group of people that were considering recalling our district attorney, and I never heard anything about it. And I just kind of wonder what happened to that. Thanks, you guys. Have a good day.
Okay. I can answer the recall question, too.
Okay, well, we have another caller on the line, and one thing I do want to say is, Rich, you can always get a hold of Corky Harmon and see if he'll do that and contact Arizona and do that. That's what you need to do.
Yep.
And then you can all feel free to call back in here next week and say what kind of answer he gave you. Anyway, we have Dave on the line. Dave, what say you?
The question I have is, if you two were not involved in this, how would anyone have ever found out? Because my gut tells me this is going on throughout the state, and there's a lot of money at stake in these elections. For instance, this year there will be a Reading sales tax increase that will cost over $30 million every year on the ballot. And there are powerful special interests with a lot of money telling a lot of lies to get this passed.
Yeah, well, luckily we had not just us two. We had a number, I would say at least 25 citizen observers that contributed to all the things that we presented in this case. And many of them took time, like a week off of work, just to observe those tabulators, every batch that went through the tabulator. So it was an extensive amount of work. One of the reasons why we want one-day elections is because we think we should be able to observe the election from start to finish in one day instead of having to take a whole week off of work or a whole month out of our lives to watch the election.
Great point. Great point.
The other question I have, is there any independent outside entity that audits these elections? Because if you're a publicly traded company, right, you've got to have an accounting firm come in and audit everything, right? And no one audits anything in these elections, a full top-to-bottom election. So how can we ever know that they're not cheating?
Yeah, there's no independent auditing. In fact, they have denied us audit log records, which would enable the citizens as a volunteer basis to audit the election. They have said, nope, you're not allowed to see those because what you found out in March with all the time changes and suspected breaches and corrupted logs, yep. They said, no, you can't see those anymore.
Yep, one cycle you get the audit logs and you find some really good stuff, and next audit cycle they deny you the audit logs. What does that tell you?
Well, yeah. The judge is denying you the right to due process, for one thing.
Yeah.
This has been crazy.
I have two questions I need to still answer. One is for Terry on severability. So,
thank you, Dave.
Yes, the state has to sue us. Okay. If and when, you know, cross your fingers.
The private citizens.
Look up in the sky, say a few silent words up into the sky and say.
The state has to sue the private citizens.
The state will have to sue the county. But what I'm saying is, okay. If and when the voters next June or so pass this, now the state has to make a decision if they're going to sue. Just like Huntington Beach's voter ID law that was passed, that the citizens passed there as a charter city. So the state will have a certain time frame, I don't know what that is, in order to initiate a lawsuit to then put this initiative into the severability process. So okay, that's how that works.
Okay, good answer. Now the state would sue on what cause? What would the state sue on?
Well, again, I'm not a lawyer, but they're going to say some things are illegal. They'll say some of it's not constitutional. They lied at the Huntington Beach thing.
You think?
They lied there and saying voter ID is illegal when it in fact was not, and then 6 months later they passed SB 1174, which then made it illegal. So the state, they're a bunch of liars. So whatever reasons they come up with, honestly, at this point, you can't believe any of it. And the second question is, Rich, hey, thanks, good first name, by the way. You were asking about Recall DA. So I initially started the movement for Recall DA, which happened to be about a month and a half before this current election petition was really being seriously looked at. And these recalls, these initiatives, are so much work, it's not even funny. I cannot be involved in two different recalls/petitions, even just one. With working full-time and family, even just one is brutal on some of us, as those of us that are especially on the organizational side of it. Not just this collecting the signatures, that's the easiest part of this entire thing. Yeah. It's the work before and after that is really, really time-consuming.
You know, Rich, you just gave Rich two jobs. You gave him the job of getting a hold of Corky Harmon to get this thing going, and you gave him another job, which is now he wants to recall the DA. Hit it on up, brother.
Well, I'll assist them, but I'm not going to do
the
work.
There you go.
Okay, here. But here's the deal is the reason I chose to get involved with the elections side of it is why, without a fair and transparent election, nothing else matters. And with a fair and transparent election, the true will of the voters will come out, and Miss Bridget will have to not let the door hit her on the way out. So that's why I chose to participate in the election petition first. She can still be recalled. She's got 4 years left in office. So when we're done here in September, if I want to pull the pin on a DA recall in September, am I excited about it? No. It's very time consuming, but I absolutely could do it because then I'll be free and clear of this election work that we're doing. So That's the answer to the DA recall.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'm glad you answered the question about, you know, the county, as far as who would have to pay for this court case and everything else. So if the county is defending a position that's opposite of the position that you guys hold, then wouldn't we be paying both ways? Wouldn't they be paying both ways? Because they'd be having to hire attorneys themselves, outside attorney firms, and then would you guys have to
hopefully at that point they will, like I said, read the room and recognize that they're there to represent the people of Shasta County.
And their job. Your side.
Yes. I believe that it will be politically untenable to represent the opposition at that point.
We'll make sure it's politically untenable. We will make sure that happens. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think,
well,
you know.
Chris Kellstrom and Kevin Cryer are both up for election this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they want to side with the citizens who want liberty and freedom and want to have their constitutionally protected rights here in Shasta County.
I think they probably would all notice that. But I think, you know, one of the things I think that's happened here in Shasta County is that it's important that we have numbers on how the initiative's going, important for all of us that believe that this is the right thing to do, so that we have some sort of, track record. You know, what an army needs is morale, and you have to have a morale saying, okay, right, this is feasible, possible. Is there any
numbers? Well, we're on the front lines, and I would say 7 out of 10 people are interested and excited to sign that petition.
Real numbers you can give us yet.
We already gave you those real numbers. I think, Rich,
I gave you some generics. There's a reason we're not giving the specific numbers out. It's just like when you're in a campaign or a race, right?
Okay.
If you give out a number where somebody perceives that number as, wow, you're just kicking tail and they don't need my help, they're doing well, or if you give a number that somebody interprets subjectively as, ooh, they're really struggling.
That's a great explanation.
They are really struggling, yes, and I'm not going to get involved with a failing idea. Does that make sense?
Great explanation.
Campaigns do this all
the time. Just want to make sure I know what our listeners are like.
That's why,
sure.
So again, we're 2/3 the way in.
Good.
And we're well over halfway with the gross signatures.
Right.
We are going to make this happen. We will turn in the legal minimum. I'm telling you right now. We will turn in the legal minimum. But right now what we're working on is that 20% buffer. So we will be submitting signatures. Absolutely we will. But again, the more we turn in, the better. And I'm going to go back to something when you were mentioning Mr. Kevin Cry. He ran on local control. He ran on that. Yeah, I have a memory. Okay. What are we trying to do here? Local control of elections. And to this day, I've not heard him publicly say anything real positive about this petition process. And that concerns me.
Well, I would just like to hear, it'd be nice to just hear his opinion, period. Now, he may have given that, because I don't listen to everything. I don't listen to everything, so
yeah.
He may have given that. But it would be nice to maybe hear that. But I think the real deal is the supervisors, that's one issue. But the initiative is the important thing. The focus right now is getting signatures on that petition. Mm-hmm. So that it can go in and the people can have their voice. If the people have their voice, I would find it hard to believe that any supervisor would be against it. I mean, maybe Long, but you know, I'm surprised. I would be surprised that Plummer or Corky, Harmon, any of those people would ever be against it. I'd be surprised about that. So the thing is that the first thing is this thing had become reality. You know, without all the other side stuff, that's the main thing. I think everything that you're asking for, at least in my opinion, certainly is valid and it's
right.
You know, reasonable.
And it is overwhelmingly popular. As I was saying before, when we're out there collecting signatures, we get to, it's almost like campaigning when you're knocking on doors. You get to hear the opinions of the people of this county who truly want to have fair and honest elections.
Well, I think
another point on this, right? So during recall Shasta, right? Mm-hmm. The three we were trying to recall, they put their own slate together and publicly and financially fought the recall, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have no groups or individuals putting together any political entities nor any money to fight this petition drive. Gee, you think it would be unpopular to publicly fight a local control election initiative? Yeah. So that's my point. And remember during the recall, Patrick Jones, sitting supervisor, when he sat, the supervisor hat was on, and when he got up, he put on his citizen hat, which he can do, and said, I'm going to support the recall. Kevin and Chris and Corky can do the same thing today. Why? I'm calling them out. If they believe in this local control for election reform and control, if they believe in it, when they get up off the dais, they should put on their citizen hat and say, oh, yes, as a citizen, I support what they're doing. Have we heard that? No. Mm-mm. And I'm not happy about it.
Well, then, you know, that's something maybe you should take up with them. I know that the program...
I just did.
No, you didn't. You said it on our radio show.
We've spoken with them privately, too. They're well aware.
You know, I've heard different things, too. Dr. Frank did, too, privately, and I also heard what he said to you and what he said to me were two different things. But I'm not even going to that one.
At least one of our supervisors is scared to death that he's going to have to face the state in a lawsuit. And I don't know why that is so upsetting, because it's not him personally. It's he as a supervisor, and that's his job.
Well, that's why I was asking about... who would have the liability of paying for that court case?
Oh, the county, obviously.
Yeah, the people.
The taxpayers.
Let's just call it what it is, the people.
Well, yes, but I hate to say people, because then that implies that it's personally Laura and Rich, and it's not. It's the people of the county.
No, it's the people of the county.
Yes.
We also have to understand what the previous Board of Supervisors did and the current are doing now. The previous board paid taxpayer money to fight Laura Hobbs' election contest, okay? The current board paid money.
Okay, I'm hold on a second.
Okay, but
clarify that for me. Just because you just said that
when Laura Hobbs
was
ran
running,
as supervisor and lost by 14 or so votes.
Okay.
And put it into court as a contest, the county paid an attorney to fight her. Instead of say, the laws were broke and you didn't follow this procedure and that established guideline. And the county did that. That was the previous board. And
they used taxpayer money.
The current board
to fight her on that election.
Fighting her on the Ladd versus Toller case.
Okay.
Why did they not settle? And the county could have settled and said, "Yeah, you know what? These legal violations that you have so exquisitely detailed and put on declarations under oath."
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the county settle that and say, the previous registrar screwed up? Didn't do that.
Yeah, we see a pattern of our county council going in and fighting for county employees that have knowingly and willfully broken the law in this county. And I see that equivalent to organized crime. It's like saying, I don't care how many laws you break. If you're part of the county, we're going to protect you.
Who are some of the people that they have protected?
Stephanie Bridget is one of them. Now, that's the most current one because
McGreeny, Bridget, okay, Bridget Toller.
On what?
Kathy Allen. On these election cases, it was Thomas Toller.
Gotcha. Okay.
Kathy Allen.
Got it.
Okay. So now the most current one is with Stephanie Bridget. I believe they have voted to create a defense for her.
Against Patrick Jones's lawsuit.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And so it's a pattern now. It's not just a one-off thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Well, that's why we need explanation of this stuff, because the folks out there really don't know, and they're really not getting answers to questions because nobody's discussing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the main thing, that we get answers to folks and ask questions that mm-hmm. people would be thinking and asking. Well, Janet, you're taking a lot of notes. You're quiet over there. You're making me nervous.
We have to have somebody recording this for posterity.
We haven't asked her a constitutional question yet. That's why.
Yes, I'm just an observer.
She's standing by.
So what's next? You guys, you have the initiative going, and then once it's successful, people vote on it, it's successful. When does it take life, I guess? When does it begin?
So
the day after or in January following?
No, once we submit the petitions, they have to be reviewed by the Registrar of Voters. That's a process that will take months, a minimum of 30 days, I believe. It could take longer. They do a preliminary review.
It's up to 90 days now.
Yeah.
They added an additional during Recall Shasta, it was a 60-day petition review. But remember the two laws they passed after recall?
Yes.
Yeah. Part of one of those laws was they added an additional petition review, 30 days. Mm-hmm. Now the Secretary of State has their fingers in the pot. Gee, go figure.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So now but this is a local issue. Why would they have their fingers in the pot?
Doesn't matter.
Because in California, the counties serve at the pleasure of the state, and that's why we need a new state called Jefferson in which the counties will be in control.
There you go.
Amen, sister. Amen on that one.
Four different states. I want
so
you to
the interesting thing is, to fully answer your question about when would this be initiated, when would it be actually in process.
In effect, yeah.
In effect. So the funny thing is a charter county, which we are now, the charters are enacted by ordinance. So if you look at the Shasta County ordinance list, the charter is actually an ordinance, and an ordinance is a local law.
Okay.
Now, under government current government code, which I know quite well, especially related to elections, the county right now, this is another thing with this darn board, they could pass ordinances right now, election ordinances right now, attempting many of the things that we have on our petition. Many of them don't contradict state law. Many of them state law is silent on. And the county board now can put in place an election-related ordinance. And an election-related ordinance doesn't even have to wait the 30 days that other ordinances have to wait. They can be in effect the day they're signed. I know this explicitly. It's in the government code. Another thing our Board of Supervisors is not doing. They could take local control on many of these matters. We've asked them for years.
And they would get all the credit.
And they would get all the credit.
Yep.
And they're not doing it. What does that tell you?
They're afraid of the state.
And they're not representing the people well.
Exactly.
Well, Janet, you just a moment ago, you said one of them was scared of this being sued by the state. It's not them personally, the man who was up in that seat. It's the county.
Exactly. But somehow this has become, for certain individuals, personal rather than professional.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Well, you have to wear different hats. When you're sitting up in that dais, like Rich was saying, yep. You're serving at the pleasure of the people. But when you walk away from that, you are John Q. Public.
You're a citizen. You have with every rights of a citizen.
Right.
And when the county is sued by the state, the state is not suing individual board of supervisors members.
No.
They're suing the county of Shasta.
Right.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. That was the point that we were making about a half an hour ago.
Yeah. If the city of Huntington Beach is any indication, we will be successful against the state. Because so far they are prevailing in that.
The state hasn't written any laws to counter that since Huntington Beach, have they?
Oh, no, they haven't actually. Rich mentioned that.
SB 1174 was the one that actually made voter ID prohibited.
Right.
And under this idea of severability, it means that even if the state were to prevail on certain elements in the initiative, the other elements would remain in effect. So it's not a total loss.
No, there's nothing. It's not all or nothing. Yeah, there's not.
Correct.
Right. Well, that was the main thing. My only question was, the only way we get to severability is if we have the court. If everybody was working together here, maybe we wouldn't have this kind of issue.
Yeah. So a couple more. I say we have two more minutes, but I want to say this. County Council is running this county. Lar Moore, he's running this county. He has the supervisors afraid of their own shadows.
Yep.
And they're not man enough. Yeah, I said it. They're not man enough to tell Joe, hey, Joe, you messed up. Okay? We're hearing privately. I don't know if we just cut off. Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you.
Oh, no, we got music. Okay?
Something's happening.
Are we back?
There we go.
Okay, there you go.
Go ahead.
So quickly, because we're almost out of time. They're not man enough to say, Joe, you messed up. Now, privately, one of our supervisors, when they sued the Shasta Five, privately, that supervisor is admitting that they should not have done that. Publicly, they're not saying a word. It's Cricketsville. I just made up a word. And Lori, want to close us out with, like, how to get a hold of us and stuff like that.
Yeah, and before you do that, I just want to make it clear that basically we have to, you know, I'd like to hear a little bit more about some of the reasoning with the Board of Supervisors down the road here, because everything you guys are saying seems to a degree to hold water here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, you may contact us at saveshastaelections.org, email saveshastaelections@pm.me. And the phone number is 530-962-5168. If you've been sitting on your couch and wondering how you can get involved to help this country, this is the time. This is your moment. Call us and make this happen.
Be part of local history.
Absolutely.
We've been doing it for 5 years now in this county, have we not? Been making local history, international news.
Yes.
Let's do it again. Yes. Let's do it again. thank you all so much today
thank
for the airtime again.
You bet. No problem at all. Thank you for coming on, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Born in the red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. I don't know what all that means to you.
Yeah.
But for me, it's about family and liberty and our all.